Corinthians 5, verse number 17. It's been a real blessing and privilege to be with you today and throughout the week. Many of you have been here in every service and grateful to fellowship around the good Word of God. And thank you for the love offering you've given, whatever it is. That's how God takes care of us and provides our needs. And He does it different ways. I never look to one source. I just look to Him. Then He does what He wills to do in taking care of us. And however it comes in, we glorify His name. Sometimes it's through unusual means. Sometimes it's through normal means. And however God does it, that's fine with me. But we do covet your prayers as we labor on in the field of evangelism, preaching around the world and back every year. Our next foreign trip will be America, Samoa, over in the Pacific Islands, and be preaching there with Brother Terry Thrun, who used to be a missionary up in Kevyang, Papua New Guinea. I preached up there for him several times. I've been over to Savai and Samoa and America, Samoa, and preached for him in that region of the world. And that'll be our next foreign trip. But we'll be preaching other meetings throughout the states and in the coming days. But we do covet your prayers, and we thank you for praying for us in the course of the year. Some of you told me that you pray for us on a consistent basis, and I don't take that for granted. I thank God for it. Brother Phil, we love you. Sister Leanne and the girls, thank you for putting me up over in the Highland Hilton. Amen. And providing for us, and I do appreciate that. I really do. Home away from home. And let's stand tonight. We'll reverence God's Word together. Read this one verse, 2 Corinthians 5, and verse number 17. I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to read it along with me. Let's all read it out loud together, okay? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I like the ring of that so good. Let's read it one more time together, okay? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is infallible, that it is inspired, that it is eternal. Lord, I pray tonight that you might give us the illumination and the understanding of this scripture that is before us. Thank you for the work that you've been doing in hearts throughout this day, in the many conversations that we've had, and Lord, how you're manifesting yourself to people. We ask you to continue to do that. Lord, I pray that you will send great revival to this church and to this community. And I pray you'll add to this congregation such as should be saved. And Lord, bless it in nature and in number. I pray, God, that you'll give us liberty and power now to preach. May the Word of God go forth clearly. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Preaching tonight on the subject, the power of God's salvation. The power of God's salvation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17 is a verse that shares with us a basic principle of Christian doctrine. It tells us about the practical power of God that will issue forth in the life of all those that get in Christ Jesus through the means of salvation. This verse tells us that a person who is in Christ will be a person who is changed. There will be old things passing away and all things becoming new when that person is in Christ Jesus. This verse of Scripture is a verse that contains a lot of power-packed truth in just a few short words. It's one of my favorite verses because as a young man, I grew up around church. And I always believed there was a God. I always believed that Jesus Christ was who He said He was. But I wasn't saved. And God sent a young preacher to our community. And one of his verses that he preached over and over was, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And he talked about how God changed his life. And how the Lord Jesus came into a man's life. And I would sit there and I'd listen. And he'd hammer this verse again and again. And I'd say, well, You know, that's never happened to me. Old things have never passed away. All things have never become new. I'm just like I've always been, and there's never been a change in me. But I just could not understand that. It was like I was in blindness or darkness, and, you know, it's hard to persuade a blind man of the beauty of the sunset. You can describe it to him in adjectives, and he might even feel a little warmth of it, but for him to see it, he just absolutely cannot see it. But when his eyes are open in that first moment of being able to see, then he understands, because he has passed out of a world of darkness and into a world of light. Now, notice first of all the condition of this promise. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, in order to be a new creature, you have to be in Christ. Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? You say, preacher, I need to be in Christ. What does that mean? Well, God looks upon the human race as a segregated people. You are either in Adam or you are in Christ. You're yet in your sins or you are in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either born into the family of God or ye are of your father the devil. There is no mediocre ground. There is no middle ground. You're either in one or the other. Now we know that by nature that we're all born in Adam. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die. We're dead spiritually in Adam. We're born that way. We come into this world with a dead spiritual nature. I know there are many today that would say there's a spark of good in you. It just needs fanning. And there's something that God saw in you. Well, there's nothing good in us. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. He said in Romans, there is none righteous. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. And by the way, that's the only nuns the Bible knows anything about. I heard of one preacher that preached on the Bible nuns. And some folk didn't like that. Amen. But the Bible tells us that we're born in Adam. And we have that fallen Adamic nature. And as a result, God looks upon us as being in Adam. But the Scripture tells us in Romans 6, He says that we are baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, does that happen when I am water baptized? Well, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Physical baptism is a like figure, Peter said. It is a picture of what actually happens when a person calls on the Lord and gets saved by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit takes them out of Adam and places them in Christ Jesus. This is called positional truth. And the Bible tells us to reckon these things to be so. If you look through the book of Romans, you'll see the word reckon several times. In Australia, do you use the word reckon as sort of a wishy-washy word? And I reckon we do. In the mountains of North Carolina, you just really are not sure and you're wishy-washy. Are you coming over to the family reunion? Well, I reckon I might try. In other words, don't put any stock in that. If I feel like it, if the wife wants to, we will. But if not, don't worry about it. It's just sort of a wishy-washy word. But when you come to Romans and he talks about reckoning ourselves indeed dead unto sin, alive unto Christ, the word reckon is dead reckoning, and it is a nautical term. And the Navy men know how to shoot off the different stars and the latitude and the longitude, and they'll have a map and they'll draw lines. And where those lines intersect at, they say, I reckon I'm right here. That's why they could bury treasure in days gone by or put something in the ocean and come back years later, and it would be right there, and they would know where it was at by dead reckoning. You may not feel that's the where you're at. You may not even feel you're in the right place. The ocean can disorient you in a hurry. But you look at the North Star. Praise God, you look at the rising of the sun and the going down of the same, and you draw those biblical lines and say, well, here's what God said, And it all intersects in the heart of the cross. And I reckon that I've called on the Lord and I'm saved by the grace of God. And here's where I'm at in Christ Jesus. Well, there's a great miracle that transpires when God saves each one of us. And that is, He baptizes us into the body of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in Galatians 3, 25 through 28, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And He says we are baptized into Christ and we put on Christ. And the way we're the children of God is we're baptized or put into Christ Jesus. No longer living in Adam. No longer living in my sin. No longer a member of Adam's race, but a member of the new race. A new nation, a generation of royal priesthood placed into the family of God. No longer in the family of Satan, but in the family of God. And the Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ. Now let me simplify it like this. Noah's ark was built. God gave the call, and He called from within the ark. "Come thou into the ark." Now Noah left the world and his family left the world. They turned their back on the world and they went into the ark. God shut the door. The world was segregated. There were those outside the ark under the wrath of God. It's going to rain. Judgment's going to snuff the life out of every living thing that breathes. And those that were inside the ark. Now the rains came tumbling down. The earth began to shake. The fountains of the deep blew loose. God began to send the winds and the torrents of waves. And all of the wrath of God fell down upon this earth. Noah and his family received that same wrath. They were under that same judgment. They went through the same fury of God's anger against sin. Except they did not die. They were saved. Why? Because they were in the ark. And because they were in the ark took the waves, the wind, the wrath, the beating, the fury of the judgment of God was poured out as it was on all the world. But Noah and his family were spared. Why? Because they were in the ark. It wasn't anything that they did. They weren't good swimmers. They didn't tread water. They wasn't hanging outside the ark. But it was because they were in the ark and the ark took care of the rest of it. I love Isaiah 53. "He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was poured out upon Him." And it's not that any of us got by with our sins, but it's that Jesus, our ark of safety, received the whipping and the beating and the judgment and the wrath upon Him. And when I called on His name, God placed me in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, that'll help your spiritual outlook on things to not be up and down. For your security is not in yourself, but your security is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Praise God. I remember being in Wales years ago, and I was preaching for Brother Gene Johnson in Welchpool, Wales. He told me, said, "I've got a shepherd that I want you to go with me to visit." Said, "God's been dealing with him, and I want to talk to him." I said, "All right." So we travel out in the countryside, and here's this shepherd. It's lambing time, so there are little lambs everywhere, man. The Welch countryside, rolling green hills, little lambs laying everywhere. Well, we went up to this fella's farm where he had all these lambs. We saw him over at the barn, walked over there, walked down through the field, looked at all the sheep, got down to the creek side. And Brother Gene said, "I'm going to go see if there's any fish in these holes up through here." He just wanted me and Sid to have a little private time. And so I was talking to Sid. He said, "Well, I think Pastor Johnson probably told you my dilemma." I said, "Well, somewhat." I said, "What's your problem, Sid?" He said, "Well, basically, I'm a hypocrite and my wife's a hypocrite." He said, "Have you ever known God to save anyone like me?" I said, "Well, let me give you my testimony." And I told him how God saved me. He said, would the Lord save me? I said, if you call on Him, you get honest with God. He said, I mean right now. I said, well, that's up to you. If you want to pray, I'll pray with you, but you'll have to pray and call out. He said, well, I want to. So we got down on our knees in that grass down there by the river. He called on the Lord. About that time, Brother Johnson came up. He prayed with us, and we got up. Old Brother Sid's just crying. God broke his heart. Brother Johnson looked at him and said something I never forgot. He said, Sid, I want to ask you, are you in your sins or are you in Christ? He said, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm trusting Christ. I said, hallelujah. That's the right answer. It's not trusting yourself. It's not trusting your feelings. It's not trusting your emotions. It's trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone. We sang that song this morning, Christ is all I need. Noah didn't need any lifeboats on board the ark. Matter of fact, he didn't even need any life vests. Asha would not have approved that ark. All he needed was inside the ark. God provided for him in the ark His safety, His shield. His salvation was in the ark. If any man be where? In Christ Jesus. I'm glad I'm in the Christ Jesus, the Savior of my soul. Hallelujah. So that's the condition. Number two, I want you to look at the creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now we believe in creation around here, don't we? Amen. Do we believe in the beginning God created? That's a whole lot easier for me to swallow than in the beginning Big Bang. Pam, bam, blew it, pop, explosion, billion meteorites and stars and blazing suns warping through the universe, and a squiggly amoeba crawled out of one of those fiery meteorites. And my mama taught me that all you had to do was take a match and burn the head of a straight pin if you wanted to kill all the germs to pick a splinter out of my hand. And yet this guy gets off a fiery meteorite and flop in the Atlantic Ocean, and they don't tell you where the ocean comes from. It just happened to be there for him to have a soft landing. And then he begins to change and blip and bleep and bloop. He starts out as a little squiggly amoeba. Then he becomes a guppy. And then he blips into a goldfish. And he blips into a flying fish. And he blips into a shark. And then he swells up into a whale. And then he gets belly up on the seashore. And he decides he likes it outside the water better than he does inside the water. So he blips into an iguana lizard. And he comes crawling out. Well, he got real cold, so he blimped into a possum and grew him a fur coat. And then he blimped into a kangaroo and hopped around, saw all the world he wanted to see, and decided he wanted to start climbing trees, so he blimped into a spider monkey. And then he looked at himself in the water and said, I'm not big enough, so he blimped into a chimpanzee. And then he stretched his muscles and said, I think I'll become a gorilla. And he climbs up into a banana tree and reaches out to get a banana, slips and hits his head on a big rock. And you know what he does? He marches right down here to Brisbane, to the university, and begins to teach evolution. And that's Grandpa. Hey, listen, I talk to them. You talk to them all the time. I mean, they just act like that's fact. I was street preaching up in Cincinnati. And we went down by the city fountain there, and I had my Bible. I was just walking up, passing a few tracts out, and the lady said, oh, you're a Bible thumper, are you? I said, no, I'm a Baptist preacher. She said, well, I'm of the billion, million year theory. I believe in evolution. I said, ma'am, you see this Bible? She said, I do. I said, I want to ask you something. Was anybody around a billion, million years ago when all this was supposed to happen? She said, well, no, it's just a theory. I said, well, if you ever take a notion to read this book I've got in my hand, you're going to have some interesting reading in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and you'll come on to Chronicles. And in Chronicles, you're going to find a long list of names that a Hebrew scholar can't hardly pronounce. You'll wade through all that, then you'll get into some more interesting reading. Then you'll come to Matthew and you'll get another long list of names. Then you'll come to the Gospel of Luke, and you'll find another genealogy of a long list of names. I said, you know who those names belong to? She said, who? I said the forefathers. There were people around that saw God do what God did, and they testified. We're not trusting in some smoked-up, egg-headed professor in a classroom trying to make some money out of some theory he hatched out and came up with and tell us a million years ago. And that's what they do if they don't understand. Oh, a million years ago. Yeah, like you were there. But we don't believe in evolution. We believe in creation. In the beginning, God created. But you know what? I'm not a spiritual evolutionist either. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And to have a new creature, you know what you have? You have to have a creator. And the Bible teaches us that when God saves you, He does a creating work. In Galatians 6 and 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creature. He says it's not in the religious rite or ceremonies that the Jews put all that stock in, but it's in being a new creature in Christ. Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When God saved you, He put something in you that never was there from the time you were born in this world. It's called the new man. In 1 John, He calls it the seed of God that cannot sin. Now, this thinking flesh of mine can do a whole lot of sinning, and so can yours. But when God saves you, He puts something in you that can't sin. That's why when the rapture of the church takes place, whether your body's in the graveyard or whether you're walking alive, you're going to be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, because you're not regular corn, you're popcorn. You take regular corn, put it in a pan, put a little heat, and it'll just melt right down. But when you put popcorn in the pan and put the heat there, something happens. You put the lid on it, and kapow, boom, pop, pop. And you open it up, and the popcorn is four times its size. It's turned inside out, and it's more glorious than it's ever been, and white as snow. Praise God, when the trump of God sounds, there's a seed on the inside of me that cannot sin, and this new man that's on the inside is going to come to the outside. I'm going to be turned inside out. This robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise. I'll seize the everlasting prize. God will do away with this vile body of mine, and I'll have a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus, a new man created or put within us. And that new man is magnetized, and he has desire for the things of God. In Psalms 103, says, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. I didn't make myself a new man. God put a new man on the inside. When a baby is born, he comes with a desire to drink. My little grandson Silas was born just a few weeks ago. I was there at the hospital. Boy, he wasn't in this world long, but he was crying and wanting something to eat. He's been eating ever since and growing. The nurse didn't have to set him aside and say, now, little Silas, when you have a pinch in your stomach and it burns a little bit, then you go, wah, 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 till your mama feeds you. She didn't have to teach him that. You know why? Wherever there is life, there's appetite. There's desire. One way you know you're saved is you desire the things of God. Hey, do you desire to run to the bars? Do you desire to run to the drink? Do you desire the things of the world? Or is there something on the inside that desires the Word of God, the fellowship with God's people? Do you enjoy preaching? Do you? You can say amen, it won't scare me. Hey, I've enjoyed this day. I really have. He's singing these songs of Zion, these hymns, and I like these screens. I've been reading the words and thinking, exhorting one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And we we're taught by the hymns, and those hymns of faith are things that exhort us, and it confirms our faith and what we believe. Hallelujah. In Christ I'm satisfied. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And then I want you to look at the change. He says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, when someone dies, we use that phrase, oh, they passed away. That's a word of death. But a new creature is a part of a resurrection. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's fall of the year here. It's springtime where I'm from. Our trees have been dead and the leaves have been gone all winter long. And now the springtime comes and everything's budding out. The daffodils are sticking their head up out of the ground. The old Canadian geese are leaving the Florida coast and they're headed back up to Canada. And they're headed there because it's good and cool. They're tired of the warm weather down our way. Everything's new. There's new life. There's a change. It's springtime. And when we get saved, it is a springtime. Old things pass away. When I preached in Turkey, I got to go to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And in the church of Ephesus, they had a baptismal pool. And the baptismal pool was in the floor of the church. And it was a big round pool. And it had steps going down on this side and then steps coming out on the other side. When I went to the church of Laodicea and found the ruins that were there, they're perfectly preserved. And in their church, they had a baptismal pool. It was a big round pool. You could baptize two of the biggest men in Australia in it. I mean, it was a big one. Steps going down on this side, steps coming out on the other side. You'll see a Christian symbol sometimes in the old ancient Christian symbol of a circle. And there'll be two lines here, and there'll be two lines there. That's representative of that baptismal pool. They believed in immersion. And their message was that we go down and we're buried with Him in baptism and we're raised again to walk in the newness of life. And they're saying that is symbolic of what happens when we get saved by the grace of God. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's why you want the Word of God. That's why you love the songs of Zion. That's why we enjoy fellowship around the things of God. That's why you want to live right. And the things you used to run after and you used to love, the things that you hate now, and the things that you used to hate and be standoffish with, now you love. And that's what happens. That's a common thread for those that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Last, I want to look at the compass of this verse. Notice the first part of the phrase. He says, if any man be in Christ. If any man. Now, that covers a lot of territory. And the Lord says, if anybody gets in Christ, this is what's going to happen to them. And as I was studying and thinking about this verse, I thought, man, this is not a verse that has to do with culture. This is not a hillbilly gospel message out of the mountains of Western North Carolina that we just hatched up and came up with. This is not something you Aussies just decided that's the way it is. It's not even something the Hebrews hatched out. God said, if any man, anywhere, anytime, gets in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Every year I get to travel around this world, and I've seen this verse in action on every continent. And as I begin to run through my mind of the different continents that I preached on, I thought, is this verse so? And the Lord said, remember this, remember that. Yes, it's so. I think about Europe. Will it work in Europe? Will it work in Paris, France, the fashion capital of the world? I was preaching in a church about this size in Paris. Young man and his wife showed up, came through the big double doors of that rented building. They sat there, heard the Word of God. I preached on Ecclesiastes, Solomon's search for satisfaction. Finished preaching, went back through there. They were new. I shook the young man's hand, he spoke to me. I said, oh, you're from North Carolina. He said, no, I went to Duke University, and that's where I learned my English at. I said, I thought I had heard a Carolina accent. I said, who are you? He said, well, I'm a Jew. I was born here in Paris. My mother's a Catholic. I was raised around all that, but he said, I'm empty, and my wife's empty, and what you preach tonight is exactly where I'm living at. He said, I've searched it all and looked at it, and we were just sitting around tonight, and we said, we need something, and maybe church is what we need. And said, this popped up on the internet. We didn't even know you were having a meeting. We thought we'd just come by here. He came in. I said, well, let's talk a little while. We went back and I talked to him. Old Jeremy got on his knees and got saved by the grace of God. I went back 2 years later, and that French-born Catholic Jew translated the scripture for me, and we preached in different locations all over France. Why did that happen? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He and his wife teach Sunday school there in the house of God now because of what God did in their heart. Hallelujah. Hey, I say, if any man in Europe gets in Christ, the Lord will change their life. I think about Africa. I'm looking at the continent of Africa. Our brother was here this morning from Kenya. I preached a lot in Kenya. We've seen a bunch of folks saved. But one that stands out, one Sunday evening in Mtwapa, Brother Joseph Kangu, the pastor there, the missionary, he's a native, Gariama, he said, you want to go street preaching? I said, why, sure. I never street preached in Africa. So we went down at the thoroughfare, and everybody don't have a car there, so they're all walking back and forth. And we're just preaching along. Folk are looking at us, just going back and forth. This Maasai guy comes down the street, and the Maasai's have these red garments on. It almost looks like a kilt or a little dress, but they're not effeminate at all. He's got 7 weapons on him at all times. They're the ones that kill the lions with their spears. And he had his spear in his hand. He looked at us and he stuck his spear up in the ground and he pulled his leg up like this and he just stood there and listened for about 30 minutes. Well, I finished preaching. Soon as I did, he pulled his spear up out of the ground. He came straight to us. And I thought, this ought to be interesting. So he had a conversation with us. And wound up, he got on his knees and asked the Lord to save him right there in the streets. Well, you know, I just put that in file 13. I said, well, hallelujah. You know, we'll see how all this comes out. 5 years later, Brother Joseph came to the Dalton, Georgia area, because he is now the head of Awanas in Kenya and Tanzania. They got 1.5 million children enrolled in Awanas, and they're reaching the Muslims in all these schools. And it's just staggering to the imagination, the gospel that's going out. But the Awanas had brought him in. I heard about it, so we got together, went to the Jubilee on the Hill, and we were up there fellowshipping and talking, and Brother Joseph got to give his testimony. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Randy, you remember that Maasai guy that got saved with street preaching in Mtwapa? I said, why, sure. He said, well, his name is John, and he is a faithful deacon in our church now. I said, God just totally changed his life. I said, hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Who could do that but the Lord Jesus Christ? It'll work in Africa. I thought about Asia, especially India. We've had a long-going ministry there. Just got back in December from India. A lot of folks saved. But I'll summarize it like this. When they get saved in India, it's a big deal to come out of Hinduism to faith in Christ. And they want to get baptized. And I've often been in the churches and we'll have a baptizer. We'll go down through the middle of the village. They'll step right on top of all these old Hindu drawings and stuff, go right past the gods and the gargoyles and all the rest of that stuff, going down to the old muddy canal in the river. We'll have a baptizer and they'll sing all the way down there. And then they'll sing all the way back. We'll come back to the church, and the first time the preacher asked me to do this, it really blew me away. He said, all right, Brother Randy, all these that's got baptized, said, you got to give them new names. I said, they don't have names. He said, yes, but they're named after a Hindu god or a goddess, and they don't want to bear that name anymore. They want a Bible name. So there's Hannah's and Daniel's and John's and Nathaniel's all over that place. Glory to God, a few Mary's and Martha's along the way. And they'll take that name. They'll sign their documents their whole life. And their families will cut them off totally. They'll lose their job and everything else. But they say, hey, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And why would they do that? Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away. All things become new. And instead of drinking milk with the rats in the floor of the temple to the rat god, now they're drinking the sincere milk of the good Word of God, and God gives them everlasting life. Hallelujah. Think about South America. I just finished preaching in Brazil. And as a send-off meal on Sunday evening, much like our meal we had there, but they had all kind of fish out of the Amazon River and big old long table there. We all gathered around and prayed and had a big time. And everybody's digging in, and as I just took my little video camera, and I just videoed starting on my left-hand side all the way around the table. I told Brother DeSale, I said, this reminds me of something. It reminds me of the Lord that sent out the Word. I've got a great feast. I want them to come and eat. One fellow said, oh, I've married a wife. I can't come. Another said, I've got some mules. I need to plow them. I can't come. Another fellow said, I got land. I can't come. He said, all right, go out into the highways and hedges and compel the blind and the maimed and the lame and the halt and bring them all in. Let them feed. Let them eat that my house may be filled. Boy, they're all, can you imagine those folk eating like that? Oh, the blind man, the lame man, the halt man, they're eating the best delicacies in town and eating till their hearts fill. Well, these guys are really chowing down. I looked to my left and I seen old Maji sitting there. I seen a man that was a sot, gutter, drunk. His own family told Kenneth Cate, said, leave him alone. He won't never get saved. Kenneth said, can't do it. Because I was just like him before I got saved. And he kept praying for him. And one night, old Maji called Kenneth and said, I've gone far as I can go. He said, I can't even get drunk no more. He said, I need something. And he come over there and he got saved. He went to the jungles with Kenneth for 2 years, got sobered up away from all of that outfit. God called him to preach. Kenneth is dead now, but he's a leading man of God. I look right beside him. There's old Pingo. He was a dope-headed cocaine head. Used the bathroom all over his kitchen floor. And his wife saw what happened because he was drunk that night. And she threw him down in that mess and cleaned that mess up. And he said while he was there, said folk had been witnessing to him. And he said God spoke to him. Said this is what the devil will give you. I'll give you better. Trust Jesus. And he got up off his knees and said, we're going to church. She said, what? And they went to church, he got saved, and now he's a businessman, and he's giving right and left, and just being a blessing every way he turns, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Sitting right beside him was a fellow with legs missing in a wheelchair, running cocaine back and forth between Manaus and Monica, Peru. They caught him, put him in prison. He got stabbed and cut up. They had to take his legs off. But through that, he got saved. And now he's over there chowing now and enjoying Jesus and singing the songs of Zion. Brother DeSale, the leading man of God, he was singing in bars and nightclubs, him and his brother Valdosti, and they were just having a big time. The woman invited them to come to a birthday party and sing for her son, and they sang, and they were sitting there eating, and an evangelist popped in and talked to the lady, and she said, oh, those old boys said they're just hippies or dopers or womanizers, said they don't care nothing about God. He said, do you mind if I talk to them? She said, help yourself, won't do any good. He said that evangelist started talking to him, said he wasn't 5 minutes in the conversation. Purcell said, I just started shaking and crying and weeping. And he said, you need to be saved, don't you, boy? He said, yes, I do. He said, you want to be saved? He said, yeah, right now. And DeSale said, I got saved. He said, it all just happened just like that. And he said, 2 weeks later, my brother got saved. They left the bars and the honky-tonk, started singing gospel songs. God called them to preach. And now he's the president of the Amazonian Baptist Mission. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. Hallelujah. think about one even closer than that. My daughter married a preacher, a young man by the name of Matthew Morgan. And when I performed the wedding, and when I was standing there, I looked at Matthew, and we got like 400 or 500 people in this church. It's a big deal. We're known all over the country there, so they all came in. I looked at Matthew, and I said, "Matthew, if I didn't believe in the regenerating grace of God, you'd never marry my daughter." He was voted most likely to be town drunk in high school. He got kicked out of high school. He went to a special needs reform school. He was so bad there, they kicked him out of that. And he said, the principal told him, said, "Matthew, you're beyond help. Ain't nobody can help you. Just get out of here and leave us alone." And he said, as he was walking across the grounds to get in his pickup truck, he said, "I felt so loved." Well, he did. He'd become just a drunk, sitting on the top of Pinnacle Mountain with his brother John. He said, "I had a jar of white lightning homebrew." He said, "I looked into it." He said, "God spoke to me and said, there's more to life than this." And he said, "It was so strong," he said, "it scared the dickens out of me." He said, "I threw it down. I left the mountain." 2 months later, Matthew got saved by the grace of God. God cleaned his life. God changed him. Then the Lord called him to preach, made something out of him. And several years later, he wound up courting my daughter and asking me if he could marry her. And I knew what God had done for him. And when I stood there and I looked at Matthew and I said, "If I didn't believe in the regenerating grace of God, you'd never marry my daughter. But because I know what God did for me, and I know what God did for you, that's the will of God, and I'll gladly join you together." Hallelujah. They got four precious babies. He's my pastor tonight. In a few minutes, they'll be preaching the Word of God, be praying for us and loving us. You know why all that's possible? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yeah, it'll work there. What about Australia? Will it work in Australia? Brother Buddy Smith and myself had Dave Crow's wife, Miss Julie, in the back seat. She'd been in the hospital. We picked her up, taking her somewhere else. We came through Cairns. As we were coming through Cairns, we came across the bridge. Miss Julie started cackling. I said, "What are you laughing about?" She said, "You see that bridge we just crossed?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "That's where Dave used to live as a troll under that bridge." Said him and an old gal and another fella said, "That's where they lived at." Whew. I preached for Brother Crow up in Papua New Guinea one morning. We was eating breakfast. I said, "Give me your testimony, Dave. I never have heard it." He told me how he's wild and free and full of the devil and everything else, drugs and all that. Made his big circle around. But he landed in a hostel somewhere and he came out. This girl was sitting there reading her Bible. He said he looked at that and thought, "That's awful strange. Must be something really interesting." He said he went to town. He came back and she was still reading it. He said, "If I ever get a Bible, I'm going to read that." Anyhow, make a long story short, he made a big circle around and came back. Wound up down in Sydney, went by a Catholic thrift store and seen a King James Bible in the window. And he thought, "There's my chance." He slipped in there and he finally got courage to ask that nun about the Bible. She said, "You want that Bible?" He said, "I started to run out the door." She said, "Here, take it." Got it and pushed it in his hand. He said, "I took that Bible and stuck it in my backpack. Wouldn't let nobody see me read it whatsoever. But in the stillness of the night, I'd open it up and I'd read the Word of God." Then God sent a few people along to witness to him along the way. And one night, God quickened his heart, saved him by the grace of God. Men, y'all know the rest of the story. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I've given you some wonderful stories of the marvelous grace of God. Radical conversions of people that I know that God changed their lives. You may get saved when you're 4 years old. You may not have ever been out in that kind of sin or whatever, but I'll guarantee you this, that when God saves you, He puts something in you that makes you want to wear this Bible out. gives you an ear to the things of God. Gives you a heart to see somebody else saved by the grace of God. And when the Lord saves, He changes. That is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I talked to somebody that said they believed in logic now. And I said, well, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for faith. And I wouldn't be preaching and doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for the reality of the grace of God. I'm here to say to you, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Last week, I was in a church. A lady came up to me before I even preached. She said, let me tell you about my husband. Said he's 62 years old. Said he used to give me real trouble about coming to church. He said, you know, he got saved about 6 months ago. He said, I didn't have to say anything to him. Said he quit his cussing. Said he started coming to church with me. Said he carries his Bible. Said he loves the Lord. Said he's sitting right over there. I said, hallelujah. And she said, that's the change Jesus brought. I look around, see this bunch of Aussies here tonight. You'd be riding a horse up there with a man of Snowy River, wouldn't you, Brother Phil? Amen. So maybe you'd be out on a construction job or like a mole down in a mine with nothing in your mind but money, caring less about this place. But because of Jesus, 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 in Christ, that's where our fellowship's at. That's where our relationship's at. That's where our assurance is at. Hallelujah.